Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus and his ascension. As you may know, Jesus was cruelly killed on the cross, and 3 days later, he was resurrected. That is, he became alive again. He spent 40 days on this earth with his people after his resurrection. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, we are told what Jesus did in those 40 days. Before he ascended and went up to heaven to be with his Father. And today, I want you to remember the promise Jesus made to his people, this great gift we were given. And I would like to explore further how we should live and walk for Christ in this journey of ours on this earth. We know that people make a will for their children or and their family members before they die. This will, their final words are very important to their family members. I still remember the day when my own father had time to meet with his family members before his death about 25 years ago. He had cancer, and his health was getting progressively worse. However, before he died, we were given the blessing of having time with him to understand each other better and talk of so many things. My father said his final words to us and gave us his will, which told us what he wanted us to do. He told us how he loved us so much. A few weeks later, he passed away. In this passage of the book of Acts, we are told that Jesus also gave his will to his disciples. He left them with this final, very important message, saying to them before he ascended to heaven, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." One wonders why he told them not to leave Jerusalem. There are two reasons for this. The first is that Jerusalem in the Old Testament times was known to be the place where Abraham offered to give his son Isaac as a burnt offering to God. This burnt offering from the Old Testament can be identified as a sign for the later sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The people of Israel built God's temple in Jerusalem. So this place of Jerusalem was a special place of prophecy. The second reason for the disciples to stay in Jerusalem is that in this same place, Jesus died on the cross to save his people from their sins. Jesus told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to stay there, because God would do something miraculous for his people there. Jesus also told them at this time to wait for the gift God promised. The people must have wondered what this promise was to be. Perhaps they wondered if he could keep his promise. We know that it is not easy to always keep our promises, even those we make to our God. A promise in Hebrew is called berith. Berith means bind or tie. It is the act of binding one with another. As people of God, as Christians in faith, we are to bind ourselves with God. A promise is also another word for covenant, a word we do not use nowadays, but we often find in the Bible. Our God made his covenant with his people that he would care for them and look after them. And yet, people often sinned against God, and he became angry with them. We know the story of the great flood where God destroyed all the animals except for a few saved by his faithful servant Noah. Later, God made a covenant that he would not destroy his people again with the waters of a flood. Yet, sadly, human beings continued to sin against God. However, God, in his care for his people, decided to save them from their sins. Thus, he made a promise that he would send a Messiah to deliver them out of the sinful world. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Our God kept his promise. He sent Jesus into this world, as the prophets in the Old Testament had promised. After Jesus was born and grew up and started his ministry serving God and his people, Jesus made a promise. In John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18, our Lord Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus made a promise, a binding covenant, that he would send the Holy Spirit, this other advocate or counselor, to be with his people forever. When this Holy Spirit came, he would be with them and help them to live and work for God. An example of a man who believed in this covenant deeply was the missionary named David Livingstone, who was God's missionary in Africa for 16 years. He said that he only survived in spite of enormous difficulties because of God's covenant with him. Later, at a mission conference, he announced that he succeeded in his mission because he truly believed that Jesus would keep this promise with his followers. He quoted these two passages. John 14, verse 18, it says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And Matthew 28, verse 20 says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." As you know, as well as being filled with great joy, our lives on this earth are also filled with different kinds of trials, sufferings, and troubles. And we sometimes wonder how we can get through. As a child of God, just as David Livingstone did, we must believe in Christ and in his covenant. Jesus said that he would not leave us as orphans. He will come to us. He will be with us always. And Jesus continued, he said in Acts 1 verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." We are told that baptism with water is the baptism of repentance. However, baptism with the Holy Spirit is known to be the baptism of faith in Christ. When you accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will become children of God. And it's said that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. This means that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we truly accept Jesus Christ, we are being controlled by God. So the Holy Spirit is leading us and helping us to become true disciples of Christ and children of God. Romans 8 verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." As you know, we are children of God and disciples of Christ. We learn from him. We believe that the Spirit of God is living in us here on earth. To his disciples, Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus promised that we are given power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And yet, many of us are not certain what this means. Power is called dunamis. Dunamis has two meanings. The first one is known to be physical power and strength. The second one is known to be the power with actions. There are many people who are very strong. I have seen a man bend a steel pipe in his hands and tear a thick telephone book into pieces. He was proud of his power. Others are proud of the power their wealth or social positions gives them. However, the power in this passage from Acts does not mean physical power. The power Jesus is talking about here most likely has moral and spiritual relevance. In short, for the believer, this power from God is used by applying the Lord's inherent abilities, not our own. With this power, Jesus told his disciples that they would become witnesses here on earth. Witness is martyrs in Greek. It means Christ follower. It also means helping a believer learn to be a disciple of Christ in belief and practice. Later, they spend much time preaching the gospel with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As you know, the book of Acts is known to be the book of apostles or the book of the Holy Spirit. Disciples of Christ chose to go out into their world and make disciples throughout all the earth. They are also called the witness of Christ. After making this promise of sending the Holy Spirit to be with his people, Jesus ascended to heaven. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11 says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" The same message is given to his believers of Christ still today. Those who believe in Christ are given the power of God so that they can be a witness of Christ. For witness of Christ, we are told in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.'" This message is given to all the disciples of Christ until today. As a follower of Christ, we are to do our best to be a witness of the gospel. Then our Lord will be so pleased. Let us continue to do so, so that more people will come back to God and walk as disciples of Christ. Let us pray. Mighty God, thank you for giving us this great message to us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Help us to be a disciple and witness of Christ no matter where we go and what we do. Be with us, guide us, and bless us at all times. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.